Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher.
Good morning. It's time for Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy with your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth. This program will improve the quality of your life through a system called resonance repatterning. And now, here's your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth.
As I will be talking with Dr. Ray Castellino and Mary Jackson today throughout this whole hour, I won't be doing a live demonstration of a resonance repatterning session this week. Instead, we'll be deepening our understanding of one of the most important moments in our life, the bonding that occurs between the mother and baby directly after the baby's birth, a bonding that most of us didn't have and are paying a high price for having missed. In resonance repatterning, we work with the unconscious patterns that keep us stuck in repetitive cycles of pain, failure, illness, overwork, depression, and all the other problems we're heir to. Using the on-off muscle response and the resonance repatterning method I've developed, we're able to identify where our present problems originate and the unmet needs, negative feelings, life-depleting beliefs, compensations and patterns we resonate with as a result of these earlier experiences. Then we're able to identify the exact modality that transforms our resonance with these past patterns, so we create a different reality for ourselves in the present. Now, what's surprising to people who have resonance repatterning sessions is how early these patterns get established, often in the womb during the first 9 months, and even as early as conception. And perhaps one of the most critical periods in terms of bonding between the mother and baby is after birth, when the baby ideally is placed on the mother's belly and then makes his or her way to the mother's breast. In resonance repatterning, we facilitate a change of resonance with this very early period when bonding was most often missing. So I'm very happy to welcome back to Living in Tune chiropractor, cranial sacral therapist, and polarity therapist, Dr. Ray Castellino. Ray is a wonderful practitioner, teacher, and researcher. He's also an international leader in pre- and perinatal somatic psychology, and he's been working with babies and adults with birth trauma since 1970. And I'm also happy to welcome Mary Jackson, a licensed home birth midwife, a registered nurse, and a cranial sacral therapist, who has attended more than 2,000 births since the early 1970s. Both Mary and Ray are adjunct faculty of Santa Barbara Graduate Institute, and both are frequent presenters at national and international conferences. You know, in the last 4 years, Mary's attended almost 100 births, and there were 63 consecutive births with no transfers to hospital. And apparently this is pretty unusual. And she's only had 5 transfers to the hospital since that time. So the current rate of transfers to the hospital for home births is usually 15 to 40%, depending on the region. So Mary's record is outstanding. So Mary must be doing something right here. Glad to have you on the show. And you'll remember that last week, Joseph Chilton Pierce talked about how the brain develops in relation to bonding with a mother in particular. This week, we're going to go into more detailed understanding of the first bonding experience for the baby and the mother outside the womb. So welcome to both of you, Ray and Mary. Are you on the air?
Yeah, we are.
Yes, hi, Chloe.
Hi there.
Hi, Chloe.
Wonderful to have you here. So, Mary, let's start with you and talk about a little bit about home birth, which for a lot of people is unusual. And as this is what you do, you must feel it's the ideal way to be born. So why is a good home birth so important?
Well, first of all, Chloe, I think that, you know, it's important just to name that I've been attending home births for 34 years, and I found it to be really safe in my experience.
Yeah.
And for thousands of years, women have been allowed to begin their labor spontaneously and to birth spontaneously with, excuse me, very simple outcomes.
Yeah.
And all the studies that have been done on home birth have shown that home birth is as safe or safer than hospital.
Mm.
And what happens at home is that the woman gets to be in a familiar environment where she feels safe.
Yeah.
She gets to choose who is present at her birth, so there's not a lot of strangers coming in and out.
Yeah.
It's usually a warm, quiet environment, and people around her are people who love and support her.
Yes.
So all these situations support the delicate hormonal balance in her body that supports her system to be able to give birth spontaneously.
Yes.
So
and then, of course, after the birth, too.
And after the birth, there's not a lot of interruptions. What is supported is the most important part after the birth is that the mother and the baby are allowed to put their attention where it should be, which is to each other. There's not a lot of interruptions in that space.
Yeah.
So they get to explore how to come into relationship in a new way once the baby is on the outside of the mother's body.
Yes, wonderful, wonderful. And then I suppose also in hospitals there tends to be a focus on washing and weighing and prodding and all the rest of it, doesn't there?
Yes, there's so many things that people want to do to the babies as soon as they get here.
Yes.
And there's not a really big need most of the time to do any of that. I mean, the baby does need to be kept warm, and the baby, I mean, we need to make sure that the baby is breathing and the color is good and all is well, but usually 95% of the time that is the case in my experience. So what is it that keeps people in that mode where they need to act and do things to the baby?
Yeah.
And where I think that comes from is what happened to them when they were being born and what was done to them.
Yes, yes. And also, of course, I imagine the medical training, which is about efficiency.
Yes, the medical
yes.
training, the expectations, the protocols.
That's
that
right.
all plays a part. And also the time factor. You know, at home, the baby and the mother are really supported to find their own rhythm that takes them to the climax of the birth and what to do afterwards.
That's
so they're not rushed through the stages of their experience.
Yes. You know, I remember once doing a respiratory patterning seminar where we actually allow the person to reenact their birth the way they truly wanted it to be. It's actually a modality at the end of one of our repatternings. And there was a doctor who was, you know, studying with us. And I looked up as we were doing this whole thing where the person was just saying exactly what they wanted as a baby being born. And the doctor was weeping. And after it was over, I said to him, "So what was coming up for you?" And he said, I've been present at hundreds of births. And he said, "I've never seen a birth like this one." And
aww.
He said, "It just made me weep." You know, just the slowing of the tempo and allowing, and the whole focus of love on the baby, which is really what you're talking about, Mary, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So now, we call this show From Birth to Breast. So tell us about this journey, either of you, and why is it essential for the mother and child to have this journey from birth to breast? And what's the ideal in terms of what the baby and the mom do and need right after birth?
Well,
Ray, let's have you talk.
Hi, Chloe.
Hi there.
And hello to all the folks that are listening here. I'm just sitting with, you know, the birth and the home environment where there's room for the father, the partner, there's room for the father, the partner, and siblings.
Yeah.
And people that are close to the mother and the baby that's coming.
Yeah.
They're included as well.
Mm.
And so in that environment, each person has their place. The mother has her place. The baby coming has his, her place. The other siblings have their place. The father, the partner has his place,
yes.
her place.
Yes.
It's an amazing thing. So when that baby comes, what I get to mm-hmm. witness when I am able to be part of the support team with the births that Mary does, I get to see that baby put skin to skin with the mother.
Mm.
And I get to see and experience the felt sense of that contact.
Yes.
And then what happens is we just wait. And the mother, the baby, in awe, the everybody there just in awe. And the quality of the love and the connection that's happening, we just wait for them to just take in and integrate what they just did, this huge journey of coming into the into life.
Yes.
And the main point at right at that crucial moment after birth is that the baby and the mother get to discover themselves from the inside of their own knowing what it is they need to do next. Nobody's rushing them to get the baby to the breast or to get the baby to be weighed, or you know how fast it can go after the birth.
Yeah.
And we just really slow ourselves down inside as the practitioners and support their rhythms into that discovery of how a new form of their relationship is developing.
Oh, wonderful. So, and when you talk then about skin to skin, you're actually talking about the baby placed on the mother's belly.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's not like the baby's placed at the mother's breast.
No. We, depending on what position the mother chooses to give birth in, the baby just usually lands where they lie right after the birth. So if she's giving birth on her side, often the baby will just lie over her thigh.
Yeah.
If the mother's sitting up reclined, the baby will often just go on the lower abdominal area.
Yeah.
And both mother and the baby at that point, what they're doing is they're integrating what just happened in the birth experience.
Beautiful. And also this discovery of the new relationship and what they want next, it allows that inner decision-making process to happen naturally right from birth, doesn't it?
Yes.
We can trust our own decisions, that we know what's right for us.
That's right. And can you imagine that if you were a newborn just getting here and you were allowed to discover what your next journey was going to be,
yeah,
where you wanted to go, how you were going to get there, and allowed to get there with support and nurse and find your way into that new relationship, there's a sense of completion of knowing what you want, how to get there, and to get it.
Yes.
And the process happens from the inside out.
That's right.
It's not done from the outside in.
That's right. And that really then you can feel how that would recapitulate in the whole of one's life, that you wait from the inside to know what your next step is.
Yeah.
And that you know you can take all your journeys in life with a sense of being supported.
That's right. It leaves the imprint so that we can rely on our inner knowing.
Yeah.
As we go through our whole life, as we grow up, as we become teenagers,
yeah,
as we become adults.
Yes.
To rely on our inner knowing.
Yes. Yes. Beautiful. Ah. So I think what we'll do, as we're coming just so you can feel the tempo slowing down here,
mm,
as we're talking about babies and taking their time and their inner knowing. And so we'll just take a short break here. And then we'll be back.
It's not about getting to one point. It's about your journey along the way. It's how you conduct yourself through the chances that you take.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher.
Is the key to life more than just another technique? In Chloe Wordsworth's new book, Quantum Change Made Easy, she shows that what you resonate with is the key to all positive change, self-healing, and achieving the best of who you are. Chloe introduces you to the 9 keys of the Resonance Repatterning System for harmonizing your energy and turning your problems into joy. You can order Quantum Change Made Easy at Amazon.com or your local bookstore. To have a session, go to ResonanceRepatterning.net for certified practitioners. You can also learn to do sessions on yourself by attending Resonance Repatterning seminars. Experience the magic of helping yourself and others with a system that combines scientific and spiritual principles. Go to ResonanceRepatterning.net for seminars, practitioners, and self-healing products. Listen to Chloe on the Seventh Wave Network every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time. Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, hosted by Reiki Master Phyllis Lei Forimoto, brings to the Seventh Wave Network this worldwide human art form. Join Phyllis every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time as she shares her experiences from around the globe and helps you to understand the effects of living in conscious relationship with the energy of Reiki. Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Seventh Wave Network.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher. Learn to trust your wings, and the rest will follow after.
You're listening to Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy with your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth. Now back to the program. Here's Chloe.
Jackson, on this moment after the birth, when the baby is placed on the mother's belly, skin to skin, and has this slowed down tempo for integrating this enormous experience they've both gone through, and discovering from inside themselves what the next step is. And so I'd like to just continue then with what we're talking about here, which is why is this journey from birth to breast essential for our well-being in the present time, not just for the newborn and the mother after the birth. And maybe you can talk a little bit about that, Ray and Mary.
Well, whatever happens at birth is the beginning of our, you know, coming into physical form, whatever happens at conception and in the gestation of the pregnancy. And often, whatever our first experience is of any situation, there's a big impact or memory that's left in us about that experience. So it's called an imprint.
Yes.
And so when a woman is giving birth and a baby is being born, whatever happens in that journey leaves an imprint in their being.
Yes.
And it lasts for a lifetime.
Mm.
And the way we remember it is not through the part of our brain that has words and can recall or even gives us the sense that we're recalling a memory, but it's more of a cellular memory, a somatic memory. So there's sensations in our body when we're in the memory of those early experiences.
Yes.
So whatever happens in our birth journey will affect how we make choices in our life later, the pacing at which we live, how we come into relationship with ourselves, with our mothers, and with others.
Mm-hmm.
It has a big impact on how we do all those things.
Yes.
This kind of memory is called implicit somatic memory. It's more right brain than left brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the part of our being that that is more in terms of impressions, emotions,
mm-hmm.
visceral sensation.
Mm-hmm.
And how we come into the world sets up the precursors for how our body is going to grow,
mm-hmm.
and how it organizes, how our nervous system organizes, and then, as Mary was saying, how we relate to the world.
Mm. Yes. Yeah.
So it's huge.
It is huge. That's right. And, of course, what we have to remember is that everything is frequency. The body, the emotions, the mind, it is all vibrating frequencies of energy. And when we have these positive experiences after the birth, as you're saying, this huge imprint, the frequencies are coherent, and we resonate with coherence, and we repeat coherence in our life, we attract coherence, whereas when that earlier experience is non-coherent, the frequencies are out of they're non-coherent, we move into resonance with non-coherence.
Yes, and, you know, just to give an example where it can be more concrete, could be like if two people come together at the time of conception with, you know, very clear intentions to conceive and begin a child, when there's a lot of love and support in their systems, and they make love and create this being, in that child's beginning, there is a sense of support and love and very clear idea that something is beginning.
Yeah.
So that's like a very positive imprint for them. So later in their adult life, when they're about to begin a journey or a project or a relationship, often that place, the beginning, will be with ease for them.
That's right. That's
compared to a situation with maybe a labor that is stuck, and toward the end of labor, the woman needs to have Pitocin to speed up the spacing of contractions or the strength of contractions mm-hmm. to get the baby to be born.
Yes.
There's a speed up right at that, like the end part of that sequence of birth.
Mm-hmm.
So that child, when they are, say, a toddler, and, you know, it's time for them to leave the house, say, because the mother needs to go to work, and she tries to speed up that process of going out the door, and the toddler just goes into a tantrum and falls apart in crying because it's touching that memory
yeah.
of what happened back in birth where they were speeded up out of their first home, the womb, and that memory is still there.
That's right. Yes, so it's amazing. So we're constantly seeing how these memory imprints get reactivated.
Yes, over and over and over.
Repeated over and over again. Yeah. Yes, so the ideal home birth then where the baby is placed on the belly, maybe you can talk now about what that journey consists of. So we have the baby skin to skin. And, you know, I want to say this because this is another important thing, skin to skin contact. I remember one of our practitioners, she just had a baby, and her baby would not stop screaming. And she did everything, and the baby was just absolutely, totally in distress. And finally, in this moment of just, what can I do, she took off her clothes, she took off the baby's clothes, and she just instinctively put her baby skin to skin, and the baby immediately stopped crying. So the skin-to-skin contact, you know, it's not good enough doing it through diapers and clothing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
In fact, the scientific studies that have been done on this
yes.
show that when the baby is put skin-to-skin with the mother, both the mother and the baby's nervous systems, their blood balance, blood systems balance, their physiology balances, way more effective than a warmer that's away from the mother.
Wow.
And all the technology that the mother's body and the baby's body together, skin to skin,
yeah.
they go into, they normalize, they settle, and the example that you just gave is very clear about that.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. A lot of times, you know, after birth, if the baby's lungs are still a little bit wet or the respirations of the newborn are quite fast, often, you know, just the baby being placed right on the mother's belly, skin to skin, and the partner supporting the mother and in contact with the mother's body, and them being really aware of their breathing and slowing it down helps the baby system to regulate to the regulation in the mother and the partner. And it just slows and eases and
yes.
the baby as well.
Yes.
And then that sets an imprint for how to shift from those activation times in their life
yes.
into a regulated, easy state.
Yes, and beautiful, because you're hearing how the mother, the father, and the baby are coming into entrainment, where all their systems are pulsing at one with each other, and that they're there to support that harmonizing and regulation through bringing all their energies into that similar pulsation.
That's right. And, you know, the story you told about your friend who had the baby crying and
yes.
she put her skin to skin.
Yes.
Oftentimes, if that part was missed right after birth and the baby is in the memory of having missed that because of something that happened in their current life,
yes.
to go back and create that time space for the baby to have that now,
yes.
actually does repair for what was missed back then.
Yes. Yes, so this is all part of the healing that can be done of the past and the present.
Yes.
Is that those early missed out stages must be completed.
That's right.
And that people are constantly trying to complete them, often in very inadequate ways, but they can consciously repeat whatever stage they've missed out on.
Yes, I think that over and over in our lives we're trying to show the story of what happened in the early time of our beginnings in order for somebody to really see and get what our story is.
Yes.
And once they get it, then we can begin the healing.
Yes, but someone has to see the story.
Yes.
Yeah. So that journey then, the baby is now on the mother's belly or by the side, and what is the next step? They're waiting, and then the baby initiates the decision, I imagine, right?
So, yes, and So we call what we do, what Mary and I do with babies in this journey to the breast, we call it supported attachment. Mm-hmm. We're supporting the baby and the mom and the family to do what they need to do so that that mom and baby can connect and attach in the best possible way. Mm-hmm. So in the next step, the baby from the belly, if we wait about 20 minutes and you watch the baby, there's a point at which it's you can visibly see an impulse go through the baby.
Ah.
And the baby, that impulse will go through the baby, and maybe a foot will start to move,
yeah.
The head will start to lift. And at that point, the baby gets this impulse through their body to begin a movement.
Mm.
And most of us think that the baby is actually moving to the breast, but that's not always the case. It is sometimes the case.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, depending on where the baby is and how the baby's moving, very often either Mary or the mother or the father or a partner will put their hand at the baby's feet. And the baby, as that impulse grows and the potency of that impulse grows, that baby begins to move their body and push with their legs, and in a way do what they just did when they got born, but except this time they're doing it on the outside, on the way to the next part of their journey.
Yes.
So, you know, for an example there, say if a child is born with a cord around the neck, so the baby's head is out and there's a cord, and you know, it can be a challenging place for the baby, the practitioner, the parents. And so there's tension in that moment.
Yes.
And so right before the baby gets here, out of the womb, out of the birth canal, and gets to the first arriving place, there's that tension. So as the baby starts the journey up to the breast is the next goal of where the baby's getting to.
Yes.
So right before the baby gets there, it could touch that memory of the discomfort in that moment of tension with the cord around the neck. So often right there, the baby will have a little fuss just before getting to that next place.
Uh-huh.
And they have something to say. And often the cry or the sounds will carry that same tension in it as what was felt when just the head was out and the cord was around
yes.
the neck. And if you reflect to the child at that point, like, oh, I'm remembering a place where that might have been really scary. It was scary for me, and I bet that was for you, too. Like, I've heard a mother say that.
Yeah.
And the baby just makes this sound that sounds like, yes!
Yeah.
And then the baby settles.
Oh.
And then it goes right on to the breast.
Thank you. Yes. So you're really there listening to the baby's story and listening to those places, those stopping places. Of an imprint being reactivated.
That's right. What we see is that in that place, the baby is actually showing their story.
Yes. And then you're healing it in that moment.
In that moment.
By responding to the story.
By responding
yeah.
as the baby's showing the story. Because
yeah.
the curiosity that Mary and I have there is what are they going to do? What's
yeah.
going to come from inside them uh-huh. without us dictating or overlaying our own idea about what the baby and the mom should do.
That's right.
We're there to discover with them
yes.
what they're going to do. And
yes.
the baby doesn't always go to the breast. Sometimes
yeah.
they do.
Right. We actually have to take a little break right now,
mm-hmm.
but we will come back and keep on talking about this
not
amazing
question. It's about your journey along the way. It's how you conduct yourself through the chances that you take.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Marissa, are you ready yet? I know you can hear me. You are not missing school again. Marissa! You trying to be a nobody or something? Let's go! All right then. Hit it. I know you can hear this! Hey guys, move closer! That's it! Girl, I am not leaving!
Hey, whatever it takes. Don't let your friends drop out. A real friend can make all the difference.
Cut that noise, yo! I'm coming! Took you long enough. Thanks for the help, guys.
For more ways to help, go to OperationGraduation.com. A public service message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher.
Is the key to life more than just another technique? In Chloe Wordsworth's new book, Quantum Change Made Easy, she shows that what you resonate with is the key to all positive change, self-healing, and achieving the best of who you are. Chloe introduces you to the 9 keys of the Resonance Repatterning System for harmonizing your energy and turning your problems into joy. You can order Quantum Change Made Easy at Amazon.com or your local bookstore. To have a session, go to ResonanceRepatterning.net for certified practitioners. You can also learn to do sessions on yourself by attending Resonance Repatterning seminars. Experience the magic of helping yourself and others with a system that combines scientific and spiritual principles. Go to ResonanceRepatterning.net for seminars, practitioners, and self-healing products. Listen to Chloe on the 7th Wave Network every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher. Learn to trust your wings. And the rest will follow after.
You're listening to Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy with your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth. Now back to the program. Here's Chloe.
A lot of people have this question in terms of when the umbilical cord should be cut. And so when you have the baby in contact with the mother, has the umbilical cord already been cut at that point?
At home birth, it has not. I have no hurry inside myself for having the cord to be cut. I usually leave the cord intact until after the placenta has delivered. If the cord is around the neck tightly and the cord has to be cut in order for the baby to get out, then I will cut the cord earlier. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, I don't cut the cord until after the placenta has been delivered, which is usually 20 to 30 minutes after birth.
Aha. So basically the baby is making the journey to the mother's breast with the cord attached.
Yes.
That's right.
And that's important, is it?
It is important because there's like a blood transfusion that the placenta holds that will go to the baby in those first few minutes after the birth.
Yes.
And if the baby misses that, the blood volume is diminished, the hemoglobin is lower, the baby is not really getting all that it was intended to get.
And then the baby will be more lethargic.
Oh.
And won't have the potency to make the journey.
Oh. Of course, it's getting the energy to
move. So by leaving it intact, the baby gets the energy and has the impulse and the potency to show us where they've just been and to make the journey to the next step.
Uh-huh.
And when you think about what the cord is transporting to the baby inside the womb, the baby is getting nutrients through the cord, oxygen through the cord.
Yeah.
It's connected to the mother through the cord.
Mm.
And the waste from the baby are carried out to the mother's bloodstream.
Yeah.
So when you think about the baby making their way to the breast and actually sucking, swallowing, nursing, they're registering in their body that is the next place where they're going to get their nutrients.
Mm.
That's the next place where they're going to have physical connection with the mother.
Yes.
So then after that place, when the cord is cut, there usually is not a big reaction from the baby.
Mm.
And when the cord is cut instantly after birth, you usually see a big cry from the baby, sort of a startled reaction. And it's sort of shocky on the baby system compared to if you just wait for that timing to happen.
Yeah.
For when mother and baby are ready for it.
Yes. And also then, the baby is already breathing
breathing. They know where their oxygen is coming from. They know where their food is coming from.
But it sounds like then they're getting it from both places. They're getting the nutrients and the oxygen from the inside, from the placenta, and they're also getting it from the outside simultaneously.
Yes.
That's right. And it's what's happening is the nutrients coming in from the placenta and the cord are diminishing at that time. Because that part of the system is actually closing down.
Yes.
And the nutrients from oxygen and then later moving to mom's breast and getting nutrient from the colostrum.
Yes.
That part is coming online.
Yes. Yes, fascinating. So there's a sense of abundance that the baby is getting an imprint that they are always provided for.
Exactly.
That when one journey is over and a new journey is beginning, there's an easy transition to our next stage of growth and evolution.
When I get to watch this happen and the cord is being cut, you know, often the father does it or a sibling.
Yeah.
And it's such a sacred time.
Uh-huh.
The whole journey is a sacred time, but it's so beautiful the way Mary prepares the partner father with that cord cutting and the responsibility of the support for the family. And
amazing for a sibling to have the cutting of the cord. That responsibility must be amazing for them.
It's very extraordinary.
And do you prepare families in any other way for this birth?
Yeah, that's one of the things that's happened with Mary and I working together, because what we did with the work that I put together and her 30 years of experience with birth is we've created a support system so that all the families that come into Mary's practice have at least two sessions with the two of us where we look at the parents' histories, we look at their intentions in the birth, and we work with them through the sensations that the mother and the partner, father, will go through and the baby will go through in the birth time, through the energetic sensations of it beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we get there, we've got some sense about, and they've got some sense about how their own history influences what's going on for them during the birth.
Yes.
And so when we get there, it's very beautiful. If something shows up from the mother's history, how she was born, and it starts to create a challenge for the birth, Mary just sits with them, looks at them, and supports the mom to differentiate. That was when you were being born, and now this is what's happening here.
Yeah.
And the mom goes, oh, yeah. She goes right back to those energetic sensations, and her body goes right back into what it needs to do to birth her baby now.
Wonderful, wonderful. This is going to be very helpful also for resonance repatterning practitioners. Because, of course, we try to shift the resonance with our own birth histories. But then in the moment when you're giving birth, when it shows up, you just stay very fully present and do that differentiation.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's much easier to see what layer the fear is coming from, and that if it's coming from a memory or an earlier experience, it's not that there's a threat in the current experience of birth.
Yes.
It's a memory that they're in.
Yes, so they don't have to go into that tension from the past and superimpose it on the present experience.
That's right, which allows for that sensation of expansion in their body, relaxation, which allows the birth to progress.
Yes. And is there a particular way of coming into physical touch with the baby?
Oh, yes. There's a beautiful exercise. I love this for moms and dads and siblings and especially grandparents. I'm a grandfather, aunts and uncles, and even medical people. When the baby is there, if we tell the baby what we're going to do ahead of time and we sit with ourselves and the baby to discover what the baby's rhythm is, then what we get to do is we go, baby, okay, I'm going to need to touch your arm now.
Mm-hmm.
I take my hand. Here's my hand. I'm going to touch your arm. And then I watch the baby's response, and I put my hand by the baby's arm.
Mm-hmm.
And the baby can move their arm away, or they can move their arm toward my hand.
Mm-hmm.
So that the baby's got some choice in what's happening there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll wait, and I'll wait for the baby to actually come to me, and I'll make lots of space for the baby to do that.
So you're actually touching in the space near the arm rather than
touching the baby directly.
Okay, so it's not, you don't go into direct contact.
Mm-hmm.
This is assuming
that everything is well and nothing really has to be done right then.
Yes.
But coming into contact that way, where the baby has the choice to come, the baby has the choice to make the contact themselves.
Mm.
It sets up a whole internal knowing for how boundaries happen in our lives, how healthy boundaries happen, and the baby's not being invaded with either the outside touch or somebody else's attention.
Mm.
And so then babies will very often move their hand, they'll touch my hand, and I'll just wait, and I'll move with them and be with them. Maybe I'll pick the baby up, or the baby will be handed to me. And then when it's time to shift that, to move out of contact with the baby, I'll say, okay, baby, I'm going to move my hand now. Little one, I'm moving my hand. And I keep my attention with the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then I move my hand. I'm moving my hand now. And then when it's time for me to move my attention, I'll do that separately from moving my hand. I keep my attention with the baby, and I say to the baby, I'm moving my attention now.
Mm.
And at that point, the baby will very often move their attention away, and then I'll move my attention. And we're separating the physical touch with what we're doing with our attention, because what we think is that the babies are merged in the experience they're having with those of us who are holding them.
Mm.
So they're very attuned to what we're doing with our attention as well as what we're doing with our touch.
Mm-hmm.
So when that happens, the baby gets to integrate us moving in and out of contact with them, and they can feel the reverence with which we're doing that with them, and they feel included in the whole process.
Yes. Yes, this is so important, because most babies, they're just simply invaded.
Yeah, there's so many things that we do to babies all day long. You know, we pick them up and change them and feed them and birth them and put them in the car seat.
Yes.
And not many people know how to really include the baby or prepare the baby for what's coming.
Yes.
And the baby's rhythm is about generally 4 times slower than an adult's rhythm.
Yes, yes. Yes. Well, we have one more break, so we'll be back very soon.
It's not about getting to one point. It's about your journey along the way. It's how you conduct yourself through the chances that you take.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher.
Is the key to life more than just another technique? In Chloe Wordsworth's new book, Quantum Change Made Easy, she shows that what you resonate with is the key to all positive change, self-healing, and achieving the best of who you are. Chloe introduces you to the 9 keys of the Resonance Repatterning System for harmonizing your energy and turning your problems into joy. You can order Quantum Change Made Easy at Amazon.com or your local bookstore. To have a session, go to ResonanceRepatterning.net for certified practitioners. You can also learn to do sessions on yourself by attending Resonance Repatterning seminars. Experience the magic of helping yourself and others with a system that combines scientific and spiritual principles. Go to ResonanceRepatterning.net for seminars, practitioners, and self-healing products. Listen to Chloe on the Seventh Wave Network every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time.
Manifest your personal and professional dream by honoring your true genius and magnificence. On DeMartini, Live and Inspired, host Dr. John F. DeMartini shares his enlightening perspectives, humorous observations of human nature, and practical action steps to live a truly inspired, purposeful, and fulfilling life. His scope of knowledge and experience is a culmination of 34 years of research and studies. Dr. DeMartini's trailblazing philosophy and revolutionary understanding is reshaping modern psychology and business and changing the lives of millions. Broadcasting each week as a special program on the Seventh Wave Network, Demartini, Live and Inspired, transforms thought and stimulates action. Get ready to break through to live an amazing life.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher. Learn to trust your wings, and the rest will follow after.
You're listening to Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy with your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth. Now back to the program. Here's Chloe.
How we get lost in efficiency. We're very efficient with babies, rather than just attuning our touch in the space and including the baby and tuning into the baby's rhythm, which Mary, you were saying is four times slower. So let's go a little bit now in this last segment we have with you into the initial breastfeeding and why this is so important.
Well, I mean, first of all, in terms of brain development and nervous system development, it's well proven. There's all kinds of studies on this now. Babies that have breastfeeding, their intelligence, their IQ is better, and the longer they breastfeed, they see a greater integration and ability to think well, feel well, have their thoughts and their feelings in integration with each other. And these are studies that they're doing with kids that are 8 and 9 and 10 years old.
Huh.
And so
it also supports their digestive system. The colostrum is so high in antibodies, it protects the babies from getting sick. And not only is it beneficial to the baby, but also to the mothers. For every year the mother breastfeeds, I think it decreases the mother's chance of breast cancer by 40% for each year she nurses.
And what about the immune system?
Oh, it makes the immune system way stronger. The initial fluid that the baby gets is called colostrum. It's full with antibodies from the mother to protect the baby's immune system. So when the baby gets that, it inoculates the baby with a stronger immune system, so that their body is able to ward off any outside germs and things.
That's right. And also, of course, the milk has every nutrient the baby needs.
Yes.
in the right ratios, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yes, for this enormous growth the baby will go through in the first year or so of its life.
That's right.
Yes. And so getting back to supportive attachment then, this is how the baby then attaches to the mother. And this, how does supportive attachment relate to breastfeeding?
Well, the baby shows their story, and if there's any problems to breastfeeding, very often it's because we adults with the baby don't get what the baby's trying to show us, so they can easily stay in a cycle of fussing and fussing and fussing and not going on, and then the adults are trying to get the baby onto the breast and get the baby to latch, and what we found is we just back off and understand that the baby is really trying to show us what happened. And even if we don't get what they're showing us, but we understand that that's what they're doing and we make space for it, then the baby can come in its own natural, his or her own natural cycle and actually choose to open their mouth, lift their head, and land right on that mom's breast and cover the areola and suck.
It seems to be that just in somebody seeing them and hearing them, it's very settling for the baby's nervous system.
Yes.
And so when the baby's in a big fuss or there is a breastfeeding challenge, if the baby's just put on the mother's lower abdomen and allowed to show the story from, you know, birth to breast, what that held for them, it is often curative in whatever the challenge was around the breastfeeding. So as the baby crawls up, there's something in their nervous system that is actually organizing And by the time they get to the breast, they're opening their mouth wider. They have a stronger, more coordinated suck.
Yes.
And it just comes together.
And they get a full latch. They're not partially on the nipple.
Yes.
They get a very full latch.
So basically, even the story of the journey from abdomen to breast can have its challenges, and then you just put the baby on the abdomen so they can repeat that story and tell that story, right?
Yes, and if that was missed right after birth, where maybe someone had a cesarean and the baby couldn't be in that place with the mother,
yes,
then they can do it later, like, yes, you know, 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months later, even 30 years later.
Oh.
It is always possible to heal,
yes,
no matter where we are in the life cycle.
Yes.
We've even worked with some families where the babies did not start nursing for 5 and 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And they, by using this process, they've been able to reestablish the nursing and nurse for the first time.
So basically then this is really how you're using this supportive attachment to help heal traumatic birth.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really wonderful, isn't it? So yeah. Powerful.
It just gives hope. You know, no matter, it's not possible to have always the ideal birthing experience.
Yes.
We can only do our best.
Yes.
But it really gives hope to know that no matter what happens, there's always a way to repair.
Yes, that's right. You know, it's so wonderful just hearing how the work that you're doing and the work that we're doing in Resonance Repatterning, how they're so beautifully interlinked.
Yes.
You know, where you can muscle check what's going on and to support it, but then this knowledge that you're bringing. And of course, I know that you have a 2-year training, so what we're doing is just touching the tip of the iceberg here. But it's so important that everything you're talking about, that we have an awareness of this possibility and this hope.
That's right.
Yeah. Wonderful. So it sounds like, well, I feel like we're missing out, we're running out of time here, so I want to just make sure that we just cover a little bit here, and if we have more time, then we can go back to another possible question. So I just want everybody to know that Ray and Mary are frequent presenters at national and international conferences, and you're welcome to go to beba.org, or you can go to aboutconnections.com if you want more information on their work and their sessions and their training. And you can email Ray at Beba, B-E-B-A, Ray, R-A-Y, at mac.com, M-A-C.com. And also Mary Jackson, M-J, midwife, at gmail.com. So they're very happy to support you whatever way they can. And these two people are dedicated to creating a support system for birth professionals, and their method helps mothers and fathers, partners, babies, siblings, grandparents to prepare for the birth and heal these birth traumas. So go to their beba.org website for this. And I'm very excited about their new book, Birth to Breast, which is due to be born early next year. So that's very exciting too. And it's wonderful that we're in this exciting era when practitioners appreciate the value of each other's unique contribution to healing, and that we're all learning from each other. You know, in Resonance Repatterning, we deal with some of the outcomes caused by unresolved issues in the womb and the birth process, and then this afterbirth attachment by shifting our resonance with these early painful experiences. And Ray and Mary's work with babies and families is direct healing in the moment, as well as their work with adults, because as Mary was saying, there's always hope, and we can always heal incomplete journeys. We're still telling our stories from back then. And next week, Wednesday, January the 28th, we're going to be going into healing trauma and abuse and the gift it holds. And I'll be talking about trauma caused by abuse and what it is and how we can self-heal for complete resolution rather than simply learning a well-rehearsed story and how to survive, but still feeling, as one abused person said, feeling like trash inside. So how does Resonance Repatterning facilitate self-healing in people who've been abused? And how does it do this at a profound level and often relatively quickly, or at least with positive results and a sense of hope after almost every session? And I'll be talking with two of the many people who have used resonance repatterning for their trauma abuse issues. A practitioner from England, she'll be on the show, Tabitha. She says, it's difficult to believe that I can actually see the gold in the hell I went through. Now I am equal to dealing with any problem that comes up. I can quickly bounce back to peace and contentment. And the other practitioner, who has suffered from multiple personalities as a result of her abuse, has just graduated from medical school, something her psychotherapist never believed was possible. So it's an in-depth look at what is possible, that there is hope. And I just want to thank you, Ray and Mary, for sharing your work with us. And just so powerful, and I'm sorry we didn't have one more day with you to keep on discussing all this.
What a pleasure to be with you and to be able to share what we could here with your audience and the people, all you folks that are out there.
Wonderful. And thank you, Mary, as well.
You're so welcome.
It's so exciting what you and Ray are doing together and how you're impacting each other's work. It's just wonderful. And people can contact you if they want more.
Yeah. Go to aboutconnections.com.
aboutconnections.com.
That's the website that Mary and I have. It's about
wonderful. aboutconnections.com. Thank you so much, and everybody have a wonderful week.
Thank you.
It's not about getting to one point. It's about your journey along the way. It's how you conduct yourself through the chances that you...
Thank you for listening to Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy. Join your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth, next Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Today I thought